This is podcast number 15, and I want to continue what I did in podcast number 14 and take as a basis my own book, which I called Fully Human, Being Fully Human in the Age of Artificial Intelligence. As I did in my book, in this podcast, I want to point to two writers or authors of famous names and who are experts in their fields. The first is Nick Bostrom, who did write his book Superintelligence. And there he explains how a superintelligent artificial agent, as he calls it, will behave when the so-called intelligence explosion is happening. And at the very end of his book, he writes the following sentences, and I will read them to you. Will the best in human nature please stand up? So he calls upon the best of human nature to be able, hopefully, to deal with this situation where a superintelligent artificial intelligence surpasses the level of human intelligence and has so-called unlimited speed and bandwidth, and what I explained in the previous podcast. So this sentence at the very end of the book that touched me personally: will the best in human nature please stand up? And another sentence: superintelligence is a challenge for which we are not ready now and will not be ready for a long time. And then he compares the situation of intelligence explosion with children playing with a bomb. And so obviously he is taking this challenge really serious. And another sentence from Nick Bostrom from the book Superintelligence, another sentence: we need to bring all our human resourcefulness to bear on its solution. So it's the same, in other words: will the best in human nature please stand up? In a similar way, but of course with different words, is Stephen Hawking writing in his book Brief Answers to the Big Questions. It is his final book, and therefore it is, I find it important what he says about these big questions. And one of the final chapters of his book is about artificial intelligence. And he writes, a super intelligent AI will be extremely good at accomplishing its goals. And if those goals aren't aligned with ours, we are in trouble. So also he points to a super intelligent AI which will be extremely good at accomplishing its goals. And if those goals are not aligned with ours, we are in trouble. He says we should plan ahead. A little later he writes, computational power is growing and quantum computing is quickly being realized. This will revolutionize artificial intelligence with exponentially faster speeds. It will advance encryption. Quantum computers will change everything, even human biology. Yeah, to me, these sentences read big. They read like, wow, we are facing big challenges, big changes. We are facing something which we may not be able to control. And that is something of concern, I believe. And then the final sentences in this chapter of Stephen Hawking in his book Brief Answers to the Big Questions, these final sentences read like this: when we invented fire, we messed up repeatedly. Then we invented the fire extinguisher. But with more powerful technologies such as nuclear weapons, synthetic biology, and strong artificial intelligence, we should plan instead ahead and aim to get things right the first time, because it may be the only chance we will get. I mean, this is a key sentence, because it may be the only chance we get. We should plan ahead. Our future is a race between the growing power of our technology and the wisdom with which we use it. And now the final sentence, and this is what I would like to come to in this podcast. Let's make sure that wisdom wins. So both authors, Stephen Hawking and Nick Bostrom, come to a similar conclusion. Nick Bostrom writes, "Will the best in human nature please stand up?" And Stephen Hawking writes, "Let's make sure that wisdom wins." These sentences were key to me, to myself, to ask myself, well, what can we do? And that led me to focus in my book from here, not anymore to go into more details of AI and technological advancements, but to focus on the human being itself, to explore what it would mean that to make sure that wisdom wins. Yeah, what does that mean? And for me, that means, okay, first I have to understand better what the human being is and what its potential is. And this is then why in my book I attempted to describe the human being from different aspects or on different levels. First there is the body, but the body has its physiology, that means how does the body function. And then I describe the functionality of three basic systems, which is the nerve and sensor system, the head, with the main part in the head, which is the lung and heart or circulation system, breathing and circulation system, which has its main location in the middle part of the body, and then the metabolic and limbs system, which allows us to move and act, which has its main part in the limbs and in the lower part of the body. And then further, I describe in the book that we have a soul, and we can describe the soul qualities as being also threefold. And the soul, that it consists of thinking and feeling and willing. And then I try to explain that these soul qualities are in the first place not physical, not material. They are guided by an even higher entity, which is our I. And our I is connected to our willing. So we are wanting to do something, and then we direct our thinking, our feeling, and our action accordingly to achieve what we want to do. So in my book I describe these elements, these different aspects of the human being in some depth, and explore that the soul qualities like thinking, feeling, and willing, they need the physiology of the body to express themselves in the body. So thinking needs the brain to create conscious experience, to perceive and think and come to conclusions and put things into context, which is, you know, some of the main activities of thinking. And feeling also is not only created by the body, but is also independent from the body, and I am able to tell myself, instead of feeling, let's say, feeling energy drained, feeling stressful, I can direct my soul, my feeling, and make a choice and say, I want to create feelings of compassion, of gratitude, of appreciation, and put those feelings into my heart area, into my body, to get away from too much stress and be able, or with that, create coherence in my functionality. And when I'm incoherent, my many functions are better functioning for decision making, for my immune system is improved, my perception is better, I'm more open to listen, I'm listening better, and so on. So I'm able to do this. That is a quality of the human being, to be the boss within myself and direct my soul and body accordingly to achieve what I want to achieve. And all this goes back to the I, the who I am, and what do I want, and what is my mission in life. And with the evolvement of my biography, when I get older, my mission in life becomes more and more clear. And this is part of the I, this is part of my mission, part of what I want to express. And it can become more and more clear that I use my soul and body to express myself. And on page 29 of my book, I write the following, and I will read it for you. In the following chapters of my book, I attempt to show that the human body and its physiology provide for the physical and physiological basis of not only accumulating knowledge, but also feeling and willing. I refer to these three, thinking, feeling, and willing, as the human soul. I will describe the heart as a sensory organ and point to a preliminary explanation of how we move our body. It's a big question, yeah? How does movement of the body take place? Based on my reading of science, I will suggest that it is the purely non-physical I also call it spirit, in opposite to matter, the I, the will energy, which uses its own soul, its thinking, feeling, willing, and its body for movement in order to realize its intentions. With these insights gained by looking at human physiology, I will in subsequent chapters suggest some aspects of how we can learn how to lead ourselves and then lead in teams and organizations to preserve humanity in a world full of highly intelligent machines. So I know this is complicated stuff, and I often hear questions like, you are telling me this, but what is the benefit of all this? Why do I need all this? And then I would answer, okay, it is helpful to understand the human being and its functioning in a way where you can feel, okay, yes, this is true. This rings true, this feels true, and gives me energy and power to use my human potential in a better way in my teams, in my organization. And this is why I suggest that the purely non-physical I is the leader within myself and becomes then the leader through myself together with others. And I want to add one thing before I end this podcast. Here I recently found and learned that there's an initiative in the world which is called innerdevelopmentgoals.org. innerdevelopmentgoals.org. And this initiative came about when a group of people thought about the 17 sustainability goals of the UN, which are widely used worldwide now. And this group of people said, okay, we cannot only look to the outside, to the earth, to the cosmos, and to everything we do, and claim that this must be changed in the outside and behavior must be changed of other people. We must also look inside ourselves. How do we need to change inside in order to better be able to affect the intended change outside? And the interesting thing I find with the inner development goals is that the first of those five goals is called being. Being in presence, being in good perception, being in the here and now. So this is the first thing of the inner development goals before they go into thinking, feeling, socializing, and then acting. So these are the 5 points of the inner development goals. And as you just heard, they also contain thinking, feeling, and acting, and feeling connected between feeling and acting, or feeling and doing, is the socializing, to do it together with others. So also here you find the three qualities of the soul: thinking, feeling, and willing. And the one who is the leader of this, the I, and who uses the soul with thinking, feeling, and willing to direct the body to realize its intentions. Yeah, so far a bit complicated, this podcast, I know, I apologize for it. But I think it's important stuff. Thank you for listening.